that God has sent to this earth, they will end up forfeiting the benefits of what God really has done. Many people, I believe, backslide. Even after they're born again, when I say backslide, I'm talking about just as not fervent to make their calling and election sure, simply because they never heard the true gospel that Jesus preached. And so everybody needs to know that, to know and then learn about the kingdom of God. Jesus preached that good news about the kingdom of God. And so that's why I really was interested in you praying that from your heart, that you receive wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, so I may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is this exceeding great and precious power that he has wrought in us, when same power that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. And as I said earlier, when I eat a meal, I pray a long prayer before I eat meals. But it's talking about the fact that it's thanking God for delivering me out of the power of darkness and translating us into the kingdom right now. Amen. So I'm happy about what the Holy Spirit will help us to understand today. So I'm ready to jump into it. Glory to God. Turn in your Bible to the book of Mark, the first chapter. Mark, the first chapter. And the 14th verse. Mark 1 and 14. Praise God. Now, after that John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, you, and believe the gospel." God sent the Holy Spirit to the earth to help you and me to have our life to be like Adam's life was before Adam transgressed God's law. God's will, and it is possible for a person to be on the earth with it being like that in his life. The Holy Spirit has been sent to help us, to take the Bible and to help and lead us and guide us and convert us, and so that our life on earth will be like it was originally when God created man. That's the will of God. That's God's will. And so the Holy Spirit has been sent to do that. But God has sent a government to earth to solve the problems of mankind. God sent a government. It is called the government. It's called the government of heaven. And everybody nowadays can get their citizenship in that government. And when they think about it that way, when they think about themselves as a legal citizen of a kingdom, then your thinking can open the way up so that we can live our life based on rights and privileges as sons and family members of God while we are on the earth. And then it's not about I know I'm going to go to heaven. I know I'm going to go to heaven. And so I believe in Jesus, so I'm going to go to heaven. Well, let's see what Jesus did actually bring so that we can understand, and we can too be people who are witnesses of Jesus. You know what a witness is? Y'all know what a witness is, don't you? Yeah. A witness. Witnesses in a court of law. Witnesses come and they have evidence, don't they? Yeah. Witnessing for Jesus, you know, it's part of it. It's talking to people about the Lord and passing out tracts, you know. But a witness of Jesus is somebody you can look at him and say, wow, he must have did come. He must have been the Son of God. He must have died and was raised from the dead. Because I can tell it's something else there aside from something else going on there aside from just a regular person being religious. That person is a son of God, like Jesus. People are supposed to look at you. People are supposed to look at you, your lifestyle, how you are, how you're living as a testimony, as evidence that this in the Bible is the truth. And the secret to that is having the Holy Spirit come and teach you how to live like Jesus lived, and for you to look at things from the point of view that Jesus Christ looked at things. Jesus didn't come to bring a religion. Jesus' greatest opposition was religion. And so that sounds like something that somebody who would be kind of like a rebel would say. If you think that the person who would say something like that is mad or angry. No. When I say that, it's not anger. It's not madness. It's just, hey, let's go back to the way that it was originally. And let's believe the gospel. See, let's believe the gospel. In order to believe the gospel, we have to hear the good news that Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God. Yeah. Jesus talked about himself, but he really didn't preach about Jesus, did he? Jesus didn't preach about Jesus, did he? He didn't preach about the blood. He didn't preach about Calvary. He didn't preach about the resurrection. And you know, all those things are really, 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 really important elements in what it took in order for Jesus Christ to redeem us from that power of darkness and get us able to come into, come on, say it, the kingdom of God. So we're not making light of that. We teach about things that pertain to the kingdom of God. We teach about the blood. We teach about the keys, the secrets that you can have that will open heaven up for you, while somebody else who's sitting right next to you don't know that secret. And secrets are the keys, the key issues that will make heaven open up for people. And so once you're born of the Spirit of God and you come through the door into the kingdom of God, Jesus said, teach them to observe all things. We're supposed to teach you about everything that pertains to Jesus. But the gospel that's preached is this good news about the kingdom of God. All right. Where you say, well, Pastor, didn't Paul say it? If anybody preached any other gospel than what I preached, let him be accursed. And then he gave a double curse. He said, I'm going to say it again. If anybody preached, an angel of God, anybody preached any other gospel aside from what I preached, then let him be cursed. So we got to clear that up. So you can go on and listen. Because you mean, yes, Pastor, but put on brakes. Come on, let's go on and look at Acts the 28th chapter. Let's look at the book of Acts, the 28th chapter, so that we can be clear and make sure. What did Paul preach? Praise the Lord. Because our goal today, this is what the goal is today. I want you to know what everybody should hear. Everybody should know this about the fact that God sent a government to solve everybody's problems, and everybody can get their citizenship in that government. And I am telling you, it is so wonderful. Okay. You see Acts, the 28th chapter, and Paul there had been ministering to the Jews, and then he was ready to go on and give it to everybody because they was kind of rejecting him. The 27th verse says, and the heart, and he was quoting something that Jesus quoted about people who hear the good news about the kingdom of God, and then they just closed their ears to it. And so he was about to go on and begin to share it with other people. And their hearts of these people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and I should and should be converted, and I should heal them. So he said, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And then those Jews, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul, this is the end of his life, Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house, and he received all that came in unto him. There it is right there. What was Paul doing those last 2 years anyway? Same thing he's been doing the whole time. He was preaching the kingdom of God. And he was teaching those things which pertain, which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and all men forbidding and no man forbidding him. So he was preaching what Jesus was preaching and all those other things. It's good news that Jesus Christ went to the cross. It's good news. And all those are so significant. But Jesus Christ did those things in order so that every person can come on into and be born into that kingdom and get their citizenship back that Adam lost. Adam was, he lost something. He lost something, and Jesus Christ came to restore it. Now, I want you to, if you take notes, these might be some good notes to take. And if you don't take notes, just listen very well. God has given us a government to solve men's problems. That's what he did. And the main problem in the world is this. It's a lot of stress, and people worry a lot about things that they really haven't found out how to control. What was going on with Adam after mankind had to get out of the Garden of Eden? The Garden of Eden was God's will, with everything taken care of, everything already provided, Adam being in control and exercising dominion, stuff wasn't running him. He was in charge. He was controlling things. He was controlling his circumstances. And he was the Son of God, and he was under God's authority, and everything was working for him like it's supposed to work. And he was there so that the will of God could be done in the earth, and God had his man there in the earth, and he was supposed to have dominion over all the handiwork of God. God had created everything, but he didn't create anything that you can see on the earth for God. He created it all for his man. God owned everything, but he really wanted that man to be his son and to enjoy the provision of God and reign in life. And that was the will of God. And Adam lost that, and God needed to fix that problem. And what he did, he sent a government to solve people's problems. Now, in America, in the earth right now, the best kind of government that man has come up with is democracy. But democracy has a whole lot of fallacies, bad points to it. Sometimes with the democracy, there is a middle class. With the democracy, there are poor people. With a democracy, there are rich people. Like in America, for instance, the pillars, democracy is established on an individual right to pursue happiness, the pursuit of happiness. Y'all have heard that before? But only thing is, like, for the person to be pursuing happiness, really, for himself. And everybody got a right to pursue happiness, but when people are pursuing happiness for themselves, and they are the ones who are doing it and bearing that burden of that provision, bearing their own burden of their success, it creates strife, it creates competition, it creates temptations to be selfish, and that's what you have in the world. And that is the absolute best kind of government that man has come up with, democracy. And it's a strong way of government, but it doesn't solve people's problems. The individual person is bearing the burden of this pursuit of happiness, and it causes all of this competition and strife and bitterness. And some people have to be poor if some people are going to be rich. And then the middle class, they're trying to stay, they're trying to go forward. And if they have some bad times, they'll go back to poverty. And it's really a lot of, it really doesn't solve people's problems. Democracy is kind of like somebody who went to the same school with you, and you voted, and then you elected somebody who's just like you and put them in to be a special person and asked that person to lead you. And the person who you put in place, they're just like you, and you kind of like demand that they be better than you so they can lead you, and we kind of like solve my problem. But it's, somebody said if a dumb person elect a dumb person and put them to lead the rest of the dumb people, then who's leading us? You know, somebody. So that makes sense, doesn't it? You need something better than yourself to take care of you. And that kind of government doesn't solve people's problems. You say, I know somebody who's got their problem solved. When FEMA gave some people money to get their new house after the flood came by and damaged their house, that was good. Yeah, that was pretty good. You know, got some money to build another house. FEMA gave me some money. A little bit, about that much water came in. And they gave me some money, so I was happy government helped out. But God sent a government to solve the problems of mankind. Now, turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Because I want, you know, we talk about the blood covenant. We talk about healing. We talk about faith. We talk about the resurrection of Jesus. We talk about his blood. We talk about those things that pertain to Jesus. But the true good news that Jesus came to preach, if it is understood and we can share with everybody else who may be not even pressing into the things of God. Maybe they never heard. Maybe some people who've already been born again never heard the good news. Because I've heard about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and I heard that he was buried, and I heard that he raised from the dead, and that's good, and that was important to get us to be able to come into the kingdom of God. But the good news that Jesus preached is what we need to focus on. All those things are good, but I want to know, why was Jesus preaching this, and he called this the good news? Well, let's look at Isaiah, and we'll see. The main problem in the earth is failed government. And so God's divine solution to mankind's problem was, if the main problem was failed government, after Adam got out of that garden, he tried to fix his own problems. He had to, because he was on his own. He had to get his own. You know, once you declare independence, you have to kind of like try to be on your own. So God solved the problem of failed government. He didn't send a religion. He sent He sent a government. And so I need to understand, what is this? Because this is foreign to me. I grew up, I never heard this. I never heard all this before. And now, I heard it, but I just didn't understand it. If God is promising that he's going to send a government to solve my problems, I need to know what God sent to solve my problem. Because if I don't know, I'm just going to look for a religion to solve my problem. And people get disappointed and they backslide if they never have heard the good news about God sent a government. He sent a kingdom to solve people's problems. And if he sent that to solve people's problem, if people understand it, then the people's problems ought to get solved. And if our problems are solved, then we are a witness about Jesus. I want to make sure that at least I know how to be a witness. I want to make sure I know how to get my bills paid supernaturally, so that other people can find out that this gospel works, because religion doesn't work. Okay. So the problem is this stress that's in the world. This problem is this desire. So we want to survive, and this fear of scarcity. And the principal problem is failed government. And so God solved that problem by promising us that he's going to send a government. And the promise of God that he was going to send a government to fix people's problem is right here in the book of Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah 9 and 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Y'all see it? And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Read it. Prince of Peace. When you say peace, that means everything in your life, what God sent, will fix it. He's the Prince of Peace. Nothing lacking, nothing broken. That's how it's been described. Nothing lacking, nothing broken. See, and he says he's going to be the Prince of Peace. So he promised, I'm going to send a person, and the government is going to be on his shoulder. And he's going to be called Prince of Peace. And then the seventh verse says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. Come on, read this. And over his kingdom, he called it a kingdom, that, see, it's a government, It's a real entity called a kingdom. And it can come to the earth. And that's what he did. Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and on and forever. The zeal of the Lord, of the Lord Almighty, will accomplish this. Now look at Daniel, the ninth verse, the seventh chapter. These are promises. This one, God was promising, I'm going to send something to fix what happened. The problem with man is this failed government. So I'm going to fix it by sending what Adam lost. It was a kingdom. It was a government. And in a kingdom, y'all listening to me? In a kingdom, it's a privilege to be in a kingdom. When you enter into a kingdom, that it's not a democracy. Listen, the government takes care of you. In a kingdom, the citizens are as wealthy as the king. In a kingdom, the king is responsible for people's lights being on. In a democracy, the people are responsible for whether their lights be on or not. The kingdom has an army that fights for the people. In religion, people say, we are the army of the Lord. And the king says, okay, well, fight for yourself. In a kingdom, the king's army fights for the citizens. People are members of a religion. People are citizens with rights when they are in a kingdom. In a kingdom, everything is legal. In religions, it's emotional and all depend on how good the people have performed. Jesus saw a woman bent over one day. And the premise by which he said she ought to be healed and straightened up. Isn't she a daughter of Abraham? Well, she ought to be healed. Now, listen. Acting right will open, keep heaven open. So it's still wrong to act wrong. You'll still close up heaven. That's a key of the kingdom. Not holding anything against anybody. That keeps heaven open. You can unlock heaven by not having anything against yourself or anybody else. And if anybody have something against you, you be the peacemaker and don't even wait for them to apologize. Go to them and keep the peace. Because people who act like that, theirs is the kingdom. And that government of heaven is still open. And you can't hurt that person. Daniel 7 chapter 13 verse. In my vision, Daniel had a vision about what God was going to send to fix people's problems. What? Okay. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. And Jesus adopted that name when he came. He comes after the Son of Man. Coming with the clouds. That's a lot of angels. You remember when Jesus was born? All those angels, that cloud of angels, said, glory to God in highest. See, that's when he came to this earth. He was born. Clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations. Say all nations. Anybody in the whole world, no matter what their religion is, when they hear about the kingdom of God, they press into it because that's what everybody is looking for. That everybody is trying to fix what Adam messed up. And the only thing will fix it is the kingdom of God. This government that God sent back. So he said, all nations of the earth, of people, of every language, worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. 16th verse. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. Say, I'm glad he did. Okay, so let's see what it meant. The four great beasts are four kings that will rise from the earth. But the holy people, and that's me and you, the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. I'm giving an example of a person who was not even a Jew, who was thinking legal stuff, was thinking government. If you think about things in life on a basis of you are a citizen with legal, and you look at things legally, and you are a citizen of a government that overrides and dominates this earth, your faith will be really, really strong because it takes the pressure off of you about whether you've been a good enough boy or not. But it's like when you were born into America, it's some things that if somebody tried to break into your house, listen to me, you can pick up the phone and you can call the police and the police has to come out because you are a citizen in right standing with the government. And so you call the government and they have to come out and help you because that's the way it is with citizens. Okay. Let me show you an example of a man who's thinking like this and who understands that this stuff is not, this stuff is about legal stuff. Look at the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew, the 8th chapter. And the 5th verse says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a what? Centurion. Now, this man was a leader. He was a government official. He was a soldier. And he was probably there to keep the peace so that, because he was, his headquarters was Italy, Rome, Italy. And he was over there, I guess that's Palestine. And he was a soldier in charge of about, I believe it was 600 soldiers, a centurion. He had about 600 soldiers he was in charge of. He was not there for any religious purposes. He was not there because he was a Jewish person. He was a Roman. And he was there mainly kind of like policing the place. And he probably had some soldiers who had heard this preacher over there talking about this kingdom. This kingdom, he was talking about kingdom. And so he understood these kind of things. And God had sent, Jesus came preaching, hey, the kingdom of God is present. You're going to have, I'm the one who he promised. And God is sending this government. It's the time is full. So fulfill. So let's go back to the way it used to be before sin happened, you know, with Adam. And now, fellas, believe this good news. God sent a kingdom. He sent a government. And it's on my shoulder. And see, the old people were part of him. This man came over there and said, he had a servant. He was not a religious person. He was not even one of those people who was following Jesus. He was a soldier. But he understood government stuff. Jesus didn't ever join a religion. He didn't come to a religion. He came to restore to the earth what Adam lost. This dominion that comes from called. And see, this man understood his headquarters was in. He was there and he was in charge of some people. And when he said something to one of his soldiers, it was just like the emperor was talking. And the emperor didn't have to be there, did he? He was hundreds and hundreds of miles away over there talking. And when he said something, they didn't hear him talking. They heard the headquarters talking. He understood that. And so what everybody needs to hear in the world, as well as people who are in the Lord, they need to hear that this good news that Jesus came to preach, he was preaching that God is going to restore to the world this kingdom government, and people can get their citizenship into it, and they can dominate their circumstances. That their circumstances does not supposed to be dominating them. They're supposed to be dominating their circumstances. We do not supposed to come to church and pray and love the door. Come on. And not go into the door. Jesus says, I'm the door. You can't get into the kingdom unless you go through Jesus. But after you kiss the door and love the door and tell him 500 times that you love him, it's time to come on in into the kingdom that the door let you in. And then find out these secrets, these keys of how to make heaven work on earth. It's called keys of the kingdom. And then you get these keys and you can unlock heaven in that situation, unlock heaven in the finances, unlock heaven in your emotions, unlock heaven. Now, if you do something and lock it up, you need to know what you did to lock it up so you can unlock heaven again. Because if you do something on earth to bind it, then heaven will be bound. But if you unloose heaven on earth, heaven will be open over your head. And it'll work for you. It's legal. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you the, come on, of the kingdom. Now, Jesus is the door to it. You got me. But then you need to keep coming to church and studying and see, now, how do I open up heaven on this situation? How do I unlock heaven in my relationships? How do I unlock heaven in my finances? How do I see? And I'm not just kissing the door and loving him. He's important. He's the one who sacrificed and made it possible for us to be delivered into the kingdom. And he's made us able to take part. I believe we ought to take part. But everybody need to know this is a kingdom, a government that you became a citizen of a government. Okay, now let me finish. Okay, the eighth verse. The centurion answered. Okay, let's look at the sixth verse fifth verse. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, look at me. Jesus normally didn't volunteer to go and do stuff. But this man, who wasn't even a religious man, he was a government official. And Jesus, he wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus said, I'll go heal him. He volunteered. And watch what this man, who understood governments and kingdom stuff, said. The centurion answered him, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, because I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this man talking like this? He said, he marveled. Look at what Jesus said about this man. He said, unto them that followed him, he's talking to the disciples and all these other folk. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. You have great faith when you look at stuff, when you know this is supposed to be like this. It is illegal for this to be in my life. But if you're thinking about how good you've been, God, please. No. It ain't God trying to make no decision. He said, you got the keys, and this thing is legal business. Okay. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I will say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and sit down at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in my kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. I got to close for today. At least I needed to just share with you at this juncture what everybody needs to know. When you know. Okay, so this is what everybody needs to know. That there is a kingdom that belongs to you. And the kingdom has belonged to you since before you were ever born. You were born to be a part of a government rulership that has dominion over the earth. Your conditions are not supposed to control you. You're supposed to control your circumstances. You're supposed to dominate your finances. You're supposed to dominate your emotions. You're supposed to dominate your problems. They call that reigning. And you do it by what Jesus Christ has done to get you into this citizenship. So I am a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of a kingdom that dominates this earth. God has given us a government to solve the problems of people. And when you are around, that's why we need to know that, and we study these things from that perspective. And now we are practicing principles to take part in what God has already provided. That's different from trying to keep some commandments so God can bless us. It's different. Both of them will work. But you want to function and you'll see yourself as a citizen of a kingdom using keys. Keys are secrets of how to get the kingdom of God's influence in your life. One of the main keys is doing for other people what you would have them to do for you, and not holding anything against anybody if they did it to you intentionally or unintentionally. You keep heaven open when you're walking in this kind of love. Without this confidence in his love holding up for you, you'd be left to be a regular person, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and not tapping into the benefits of heaven. Amen. It's offering time. Receive Pastor Dringer.